guard reached into her suit pocket, drew out what looked like a slender wooden box, the kind that really high-end pen sets come in sometimes, and took a small rectangular plaque of some kind from the box. She lifted it, facing Mab again, and snapped the little plaque in her fingers. The entire snow sculpture collapsed on itself and was gone. "They saw the hidden camera," I muttered.
"Within her limits, the chooser is resourceful and clever," Mab replied. "The Baron was wise to acquire her services."
I glanced up at Mab. "What happened?"
"All sight was clouded for several moments. Then this."
At another gesture, the building reformed. But this time, little clouds of frost simulated thick smoke roiling all around it, obscuring many details. The whole image, in fact, looked hazier, grainier, as if Mab had chosen to form it out of snowflakes a few sizes too large to illustrate details. Even so, I recognized Marcone when he came stumbling out the front door of the building. Several forms hurried out behind him. They surrounded him. A plain van appeared out of the night, and the unknown figures cast him through its open doors. Then they entered and were gone. As the van pulled away, the building shuddered and collapsed in on itself, sliding down into the wreckage and ruin I'd seen.
"I have chosen you to be my emissary,"
Mab said to me.
"You will repay me a favor owed. You will find the Baron."
"The hell I will," I said, before my brain had time to weigh in on the sentiment. Mab let out a low, throaty laugh.
"You will, wizard child. And you wish to survive. You have no choice."
Anger flared in my chest and shoved my brain aside on its way to my mouth. "That wasn't our deal," I snapped. "Our bargain stipulated that I would choose which favors to repay and that you would not coerce me." Mab's frozen berry lips lifted in a silent snarl, and the world turned into a curtain of white agony that centered on my eyes. Nothing had ever hurt so much. I fell down, but I wasn't lucky enough to hit my head and knock myself unconscious. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't scream. Then there was something cold beside me, and something very soft and very cold touched my ear. I recognized the sensation from the far side of the pain. Lips. Mab's lips. The queen of air and darkness placed a gentle row of kisses down the outside ridge of my ear, then sucked the lobe into her mouth and bit down quite gently. In the other ear, I heard Grimalkin's voice speaking in a low, tense, hungry whisper.
"Mortal brute, whatever your past, whatever your future, know this. I am Mab, and I keep my bargains. Question my given word again, ape, and I will finish freezing the water in your eyes."
The pain receded to something merely torturous, and I clenched my teeth down hard over a scream. I could move again. I flinched away from her, scrambling until my back hit a wall. I covered my eyes with my hands and felt some of my frozen eyelashes snap. I sat there for a minute, struggling to control the pain, and my vision gradually faded from white to a deep red, and then to black. I opened my eyes. I could barely focus them. I felt a wetness on my face, touched it with a finger. There was blood in my tears.
"I have not coerced you, nor dispatched any agent of mine to do so,"
Mab continued, as if the break in the conversation had never happened.
"Nonetheless, if you wish to survive, you will serve me. I assure you that Summer's agents will not rest until you are dead."